are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What up? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, October the 18th. And I'm talking about the end of the roster today with Aaron Ferguson from Piston Power. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Appreciate you guys doing that. More news than I planned today, and we're going to cover the bases on all those things. And we're also going to talk to Aaron Ferguson, one of the new site experts at pistonpower.com. He put together a kind of a choose-your-own-adventure, if you remember the old novels, if you're my age, about that. But check it out on pistonpower.com. Be Ed Stefanski. Get right in there. Turn into Easy Ed and get your own path for how you decide the Pistons should proceed with the 15th spot on the roster. But we got more predictions. I'm going to stack them up for Monday's show and send yours along this weekend. Give me a call at the Google voicemail line at 810-666-1546. Again, that's 810-666-1546. Give us a call. Leave your name. Tell us where you're at and what you think. 2 minutes or less and what you think about the Pistons finish. If you got some bold predictions, if you got some vanilla predictions, if you got some negative predictions, whatever you want to say, send them along, and we will play them before the season gets started on Wednesday, with the Pistons playing the Indiana Pacers on the road Wednesday night, and then Thursday at home for the home opener. It's the Atlanta Hawks. Buy one, get one free tickets. Sad but true. And then Saturday home, it's Philadelphia 76ers. Monday after that, Indiana again at home at Little Caesars Arena. Two of the first four games against the Pacers. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, and then another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. That's right. That is how to spell Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, and that is how to pronounce S-C-H-O-C-H is Shook, as unbelievable as it might be. But the Pistons made a transaction on Thursday afternoon or Thursday early evening, signing Craig Sword and waiving Todd Withers. We know that Todd Withers was one of the Exhibit 10 deals, so I'm assuming that Craig Sword kind of takes over that Exhibit 10 deal, and we'll see if Todd Withers ends up coming back to the Grand Rapids Drive on an affiliate deal. I don't have any information on that. Todd Sword played at Mississippi State. He's a 6'3 guard who played the last two seasons with the Erie BayHawks of the NBA's G League, the Atlanta Hawks affiliate. He also played in Mexico and Poland over the last couple years as well. Averaged 8.7 points a game and 3.3 rebounds and 2 assists in 98 G League games over the last couple years. We've talked about it in the past on this show. Malik Rose came from the Atlanta's G League program. He kind of ran it back then, and he's kind of running the G League for the Grand Rapids Drive. So whenever names come up from the Atlanta Hawks and the G League Erie BayHawks, kind of throws up the Scooby sense that it was probably a move that Malik Rose had to do with. I think at least one of the assistant coaches on Donnie Tindall's staff came from the Atlanta Hawks as well. Ridiculous Upside says, this is a blog on SB Nation that covers the G League. They are kind of excited for Craig Sword, one of the better guards, quote-unquote, in the G League for the past 2 years. And according to Ridiculous Upside on Twitter, a really athletic slasher that can finish in traffic, also a solid defender that averaged 1.4 steals during his career, despite playing only 24 minutes per game. And we're doing a lot of reading of the tea leaves today. We'll talk about that in a second. But first, Luke Kennard, they picked up the option on the 2020-2021 season on Luke Kennard. Completely expected that they did that, so nothing exciting and unexpected there. But picking up the $5.3 million for his fourth year next year, kind of a formality. But what I thought was interesting was the moves that they didn't make. They didn't announce that they were picking up Bruce Brown's option for his third year next year, and they didn't announce that they're picking up Sofia Mikhailiuk or Kyrie Thomas's option for next year. Now, if you listen to this show on Thursday, you know that I kind of still have a feeling that Kyrie Thomas is going to be the odd man out and they're going to look to either deal him in the next few days over the weekend or possibly just cut him outright. And we're going to talk about Aaron Ferguson of Piston Powered about that too. But we had that conversation with Aaron, and then the move for Craig Sword happened after that. So really, like I said, reading more tea leaves, I think that you could extrapolate that the idea that you might be trading Khyree Thomas or cutting Khyree Thomas gives more reason to bring in a defensive-minded 6'3 guard, because that's what Khyree Thomas is, basically. So Craig Sword's arrival in Pistons land and Grand Rapids Drive land, to me, is more signals that they are planning on getting rid of, jettisoning Khyree Thomas at some way, somehow, keeping Joe Johnson around and keeping Christian Wood around as well. And like I said, Luke Kennard picking up the fourth-year option. The other bit of news today, and Makor McCour, which is the cousin of Thon Maker, kind of the other bit of news from Pistons land on Thursday, he's trying to reclassify to become a 2020 prospect in the draft instead of a 2021 prospect. We'll see how that all works out. But to the cousin of Thon Maker, trying to become a member of the NBA sooner rather than later in the 2020-2021 season. And we know the Pistons, you know, they could be a team that's picking high in the draft. They could be talking about the James Wisemans, the LaMelo Balls of the world, and we'll see if that comes to fruition. But interesting thing to keep an eye on there with the Pistons on a day on Thursday, which I didn't expect much, if anything, to happen at all. And we did have some news to talk about. But Manscaped is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Check out Manscaped and get 20% off and free shipping with the code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. Up next, we're going to talk to Aaron Ferguson of PistonPowered.com about what you should do, choose your own adventure, for the 15th spot on the roster. Play Ed Stefanski. Get in your Ed Stefanski Halloween costume and make the decisions that he should be making over these next few days. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, and now we're being joined by Aaron Ferguson, one of the site experts of Piston Power. We've had Aaron on before, but thanks for taking the time to join us again here on Locked On Pistons.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Matt. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, so we're talking today about an article that you put up, Be the GM, Finalize the Detroit Pistons 2019-20 Roster, kind of an interactive look where you can play Ed Stefanski and go through a couple of the scenarios that he's actually probably working with right now. But yeah, it's an interesting kind of conundrum that Ed Stefanski in the front office is dealing with right now.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, there's so many different options that they can do based on whether it's keep Christian Wood, keep Joe Johnson, or keep both. That's kind of the root of the entire issue regarding the 15th roster spot. And then there's obviously unintended consequences based on what you do. I mean, it's either you're going to have to cut someone and pay that guaranteed money anyway with that player not being on the roster, or trying to find a trade to clear up roster space so you can have Wood and Johnson, and maybe you make a big splash. Obviously, Bradley Beal is no longer on the market, but maybe you make a bigger splash somewhere else, or bring in Frank Ntilikina, as was rumored last week.
Yeah, and like you said, all sorts of different options. But one of the things that I don't think maybe that we've talked about on this show, or maybe that I've seen in too many other places as regards to Joe Johnson, is that, you know, he's obviously looks old in this preseason, hasn't done a lot in the five games to show that he deserves this shot, but obviously has the history and the 20,000 plus points that he's had over his career. But like you said, you have to kind of put yourself into Ed Stefanski's shoes, and the fact that, you know, Joe Johnson is a former Arne Tellem client. We know that Dwayne Casey was kind of instrumental in having Joe Johnson be picking the Detroit Pistons over some of the other decisions that he possibly options that he could have had out there. You kind of have to take those things into consideration when you're making this decision, as opposed to black and white basketball versus basketball, this guy and this guy. You kind of have to take those kind of long-term and, you know, relationship types of decisions involved in this as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's almost like he's a glorified coach too, to an extent. I mean, he's going to get minutes. That's obvious. He's probably going to win a game or two for you down the stretch. Whether it's the Pistons resting Blake for a night so he gets minutes at power forward, or it's just on a nightly basis backing up Tony Snell, or whatever it may be. So he's going to have value on the court, but his biggest value is going to be the locker room presence. He's won in several other places. He's been a seven-time All-Star. The numbers speak for themselves. He's a scorer. And you definitely want a guy like that on the practice court who can kind of assist and maybe better show what the coaching staff is trying to teach to a relatively young roster.
And as we tape this, it's kind of late afternoon on Thursday. So in my opinion, if by the time you listen to this on Friday, there's still no decision made, no news about any kind of trade or release that has happened so far. That, to me, gives more credence to the fact that there will be a trade and that Ed Stefanski is trying to work the phones, trying to figure out a way for either Langston Galloway or Khyree Thomas to be moving on. And as we talked about on Thursday's show on Locked On Pistons, I believe ultimately that Khyree Thomas will be the guy that will be gone. Whether they're able to get a second-round pick for him in a deal or some other type of trade or just release him outright, I think that's ultimately what's going to happen. But, yeah, you got to believe that the phones are kind of ringing off the hook, and Ed Stefanski is making a lot of calls to teams around the league to see if they could make some kind of move so they didn't have to make the Joe Johnson or Christian Wood choice.
Yeah, and I really wonder how much sleep he's getting with that. You know, it's going to be difficult because there is a clock with Joe Johnson having a guaranteed date on October 21st and Christian Wood's guaranteed date, the season opener, October 23rd. So as those clocks near, you're losing leverage because teams know if you're making phone calls, teams are going to know that you're trying to clear a roster spot because you want to keep both. So teams aren't going to be willing to maybe give you a friendly package that would allow the Pistons to keep additional draft picks. I think that's going to be something that maybe they have to spend to allow another team to take on another contract. Spend a couple second rounders or maybe a heavily protected first rounder to free one of those spaces up, depending on who you're sending out. In regards to Khyree, this was interesting because I looked this up the other day. Even last year, he did not play very much in the preseason, and he still played in 23 games during the regular season. So I'm not so sure that he is the guy. I'm kind of with you. I do think he will be the guy that's leaving Detroit when it's all said and done. But I think the history of last year entering his rookie season, maybe they felt he was a little too raw, kind of like Sekou. You didn't see Sekou a lot this year in the preseason. Maybe they're just trying to preserve them so they don't get exposed or lose confidence and they continue to develop on the practice courts and in the G League and the limited time that they'll get during the regular season.
Yeah, and when I say that I predict that Thomas is the one to be gone, I don't necessarily think that that's the course of action that I would take, but I'm just kind of reading between the tea leaves and figuring out. Obviously, there's a depth chart issue that the Pistons have with the Bruce Brown and Svi Mykhailiuk and Khyree Thomas all being rookies last year that kind of demand a little bit of playing time at some point, and we've seen that Bruce Brown has gotten that and will continue to get that, and Svi Mykhailiuk, it appears to be, will be at the back end of the rotation. And like you said, maybe we're reading too much into preseason with Khyree Thomas, but it appears that he's kind of on the outside looking in right now. If I'm a smart young team looking at, you know, the Atlanta Hawks that are building and teams around the league like that have the cap space and have roster spots and maybe some minutes available, I'm calling Ed Stefanski and using the leverage that you have, knowing that Ed Stefanski wants to reward one of these guys, and probably just offer a heavily protected second-round pick so that you're basically taking Khyree Thomas off their hands, absorbing the $1.4 million contract for this year, taking in the possible team option for next year that they would have, I would imagine, exercise as long as he has a reasonably good season for them this year, and puts the Pistons over this barrel that they've put themselves into and takes advantage of it. But, Aaron, what do you kind of see ultimately happening if you had to be Ed Stefanski and you had to kind of go down one of these avenues? What would you do right now?
Yeah, it's so hard. There are so many ways that he could go and approach this. Because of Blake Griffin's injury history, I would lean towards keeping five forwards on the roster and keeping Thon Maker, which is something that has been talked about a little bit that I've seen on social media. But I think it's something that people aren't really taking into account. They see Joe Johnson and they say Christian Wood don't have guaranteed contracts. And I think that's a large part of the decision-making among the fan base. But obviously that's not the only course of action. I've seen people talking about Langston Galloway and Khyree Thomas. And really, I think that's where the cut line is, because if you count in the three point guards, Rose, Tim Frazier, and Reggie Jackson, and then add in Langston Galloway and Kyrie Thomas. You have five guys that are 6'3 and shorter, and you have an NBA game right now that is dependent on versatility, the ability to guard multiple positions. And if you're 6'3 and you're not hitting shots, which Langston can, but it's very inconsistent, and Kyrie can in college, but he's yet to prove it in the NBA, I think that's where the cut's going to be, or the trade, or whatever it is, between most likely between Galloway and Kyrie Thomas. But I think the other thing is, if they can find a trade partner for Langston, that might be their first course of action, their plan A. But I do think the $7 million expiring contract, even though 2021 is going to be the big free agency period, that's still going to hold a lot of value as you move closer to the trade deadline. So I think that Detroit would be wise to hold on to him and see what they could get as the deadline moves near in February. And I would move Kyrie. I guess that would be my best bet.
I tend to agree with you on Langston Galloway. I think that he still has a little bit of value with this team. Obviously, he's an overpaid player at $7 million a year, but I think he gives some value for your roster for this year. And like you said, his value increases as you get towards February, because teams don't necessarily want to pay Langston Galloway $7 million this year, but they do want to have that $7 million come off their books this summer if they want to work some trades or get under the luxury tax or whatever their game plan is for their salary sheets this upcoming summer. My opinion on what they should do is simply to cut Joe Johnson. I think that that's the move. I haven't seen anything from him this preseason that shows that he's knocked off the rust, or that at 38 years old, he will be a guy who's going to be very helpful to you. And like you said, I agree with you that there's a best-case scenario where he wins a couple of games for you in the fourth quarter, is a steadying presence in the locker room. I do buy some of that stuff. However, I think if you're the Pistons right now, you're looking at a franchise that needs to be thinking bigger than that, needs to be thinking about things that could help out the long term of this franchise. And I'm not saying Kyrie Thomas is the next Spencer Dinwiddie, but I do believe that there's some value with him, and he can be a competent NBA player for you down the road. And that the way that this 2019-20 season is looking, it's kind of going to be a middling season once again. So the fact that you might miss out on those pretty good handful of fourth quarters from Joe Johnson isn't necessarily a reason to sacrifice any kind of future or mortgaging the future in any kind of way, shape, or form. So, yeah, there would be some rehab reputation-wise you might have to do if you convince Joe Johnson to come in and then a month later send him packing. But that's I think that that's kind of the tough decisions that we pay the Ed Stefanskis and Dwayne Casey's of the world to make. And those guys are very well-regarded around the league. It's not going to be a reputation killer for those guys. And I think personally that Joe Johnson probably resurfaces maybe sometime later in the season and becomes more of a half-season type of player, as opposed to someone who's going to be 82 games for someone. We know that there's going to be contenders out there looking for people on the buyout market or free agents out there. Joe Johnson, I think, can take some time in these next couple months, rest up and get his body ready and rested, so that he can be a contributor come spring or come playoff time. And maybe that could even be with the Detroit Pistons in a few months if there's a couple injuries or roster spots that come available here in these next couple months. But we got Aaron Ferguson of the Piston Powered joining us. Any other comments on the conundrum, what that Stefanski's dealing with, or what else is going on in the site these days at pistonpowered.com?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess a shameless plug. I put together a big guide ahead of training camp and have updated it throughout the past couple of weeks. It came out on October 1st. It's got individual player profiles. Each player profile page has all the stories we've written leading up to the season. So there is a ton of content that we've examined. In-season trades, speculation, what we want to do, stuff like that, roster analysis, training camp stuff that we've written, preseason stuff that we've covered. We did a team-by-team preview series, taking a look at how the Pistons, when we wrote the preview series, stacked up against every team in the league. So we've got a lot of stuff like that, which kind of parlays into this is going to be a season of transition for the Pistons. And it's going to go one or two ways because their roster is set up right now where you have those veterans, the Blake Griffins, Andre Drummonds, the Reggie Jacksons, Joe Johnsons, whoever. These guys have been in the league a while. They're probably ready to compete. But then the other half of the roster, the Sekus, the Bruce Brown, the Luke Kennard, they're young dudes. I mean, they're a few years away. It could be a nice core that develops over time that Detroit could really rally around. But in a fan's perspective, it's competing or rebuilding. And the Pistons have done a lot of rebuilding, retooling over the past decade, and it has gotten them nowhere. But this season's going to define that, the direction they go in for the next 5 years, I think. Just because you have the expiring contracts of Drummond and Reggie and Langston Galloway. And James Edwards dropped this in The Athletic today, but the Pistons could trade Blake Griffin. If things are going really poorly and he's having a good year, they could just look to reset completely. And so I think that's a big storyline to watch this year is with the easiest schedule before the All-Star break, how do the Pistons play? If they're playing poorly with that brutal march that's going to come up, going through the Western Conference gauntlet of powers, do the Pistons blow it up before the deadline and rebuild, or do they go and try and make a pull for a Zinio Gallinari or a Kyle Lowry, someone that might help them push their way up the Eastern Conference standings and try to win a playoff series or two?
Yeah, and unlike last year where I think Dwayne Casey and Ed Stefanski were kind of seeing what they got, like you said, I wouldn't be surprised if the Pistons make some sort of bold move in one of those two directions like you talked about in terms of going for it or stripping it down and rebuilding for the next few years with a decent little young core that they have now that obviously would need some reinforcements to become a very good young core that you can feel good about. And yeah, you mentioned the James Edwards article that came out this morning with the trade possibility of Blake Griffin heading over to the Portland Trailblazers. That's a trade that I talked about specifically a couple days ago here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. So anytime me and James are on the same wavelength, I feel good about that with the Anthony Simons and Zach Collins possibly coming over. I talked about Kent Bazemore. And then James's version also had Yusuf Nurkic in there, which I had not talked about. And then also Langston Galloway to kind of even up the salaries. James was talking about a couple of draft picks coming over from Portland. In my mind, I think that Blake for Bazemore and Zach Collins and Anthony Simons would probably be enough and that Portland wouldn't have to throw any more picks or anything like that into there. But a lot of interesting things, and we know that from NBA Twitter, from Pistons Twitter, we'll be talking about trades all year long and would you do this deal and all that kind of stuff. So we'll have plenty of time to talk about that. But Aaron Ferguson, the site expert of Piston Power, doing a great job as he's joined for a few months now, and we appreciate his time and look forward to speaking to you as the season rolls on and we see how this whole thing unfolds.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Matt. It's been fun.
And thanks again to Aaron Ferguson of PistonPower.com for taking the time to join us today. We really appreciate having him on the show, as we will throughout the season as well, doing a good job with the website on FanSided as well. But we've got a few more days until Pistons action. We'll take the weekend off here on the Locked On Pistons podcast and be back on Monday morning, just like you guys come to expect from us. This is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying thanks for listening, spread the word, and we'll talk to you guys on Monday.